You to turn with me this afternoon for a few moments to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this afternoon. I look at a thought this afternoon what the Lord has laid on my heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 this afternoon, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, and we will begin reading in verse number 1 this afternoon. This morning we talked about King David and how he had fought the enemy and how he knew to fight the enemy. And not very far after, chapter 17, he was fighting the enemy. And now we've come to chapter number 30 and we see where we're at. And the man on the mountaintop one minute and in the valley the next. Can I get a witness? Mountaintop one day, valley the next. Everything going good, then things come in your life and you just have to move and you have to let God have his way in your life. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 1, I would ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. If you found your place, say amen. The Bible says, and it came to pass. You notice this morning when we started reading, it came to pass. Every time when God's in control, when he's always in control, it'll always come to pass. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were there within. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Noam and Zeralites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, here's what I want to preach. But David encouraged himself in the Lord God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let us pray. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we glorify you, and we thank you for this night. We thank you for the Spirit that's in this place. We thank you for, Father, the baptism that we've just seen, Father, how you continue to move, how you continue to work. Lord, I'm praying this afternoon, Father, that you move in a mighty way. I ask you this afternoon for the one that might be discouraged, that you would encourage them this afternoon. Father, I pray that you would lift them up. I pray that you would do a work in their life, Lord. Lord, I love you. I thank you. And I just thank you so much for this afternoon. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for how you've saved my soul. Thank you for how you've delivered me from a devil's hell. Lord, I ask you right now to have your will and way. Guard my throat. Guard my thoughts. Everything I say tonight, let it be all about you and nothing about me. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. Tonight as we come, King David was a mighty man of God, and you've seen that this morning. But David here, he came back to Ziklag. He came back to this place, and he'd done been out in war. He'd done been out, and he came back home. He came back to the place where he knew he'd find rest. He'd find comfort. He'd find peace. But I want you to know, David had just experienced everything that his people had. Everything that his people had went through, David had went through the same thing. Do you know this afternoon, none of us is immune to the things that go on. When troubles and pressures and pains of this world come, we all get sidetracked sometimes. But David, here he come, and he just experienced everything that his people had. And Ziklag is burned. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, and everything of value is gone. There is nothing left when he gets back home. There's not nothing left. Everything's been gone. Everything's been taken. Everything's been destroyed. And David and his men has lost everything. Yet David found himself greatly distressed. He found himself distressed, distraught, and in a place that he needed God to move. Do you know what David did? He didn't wait on somebody else to encourage him in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. There's going to be times if you want to be encouraged on this Christian walk and you want to be encouraged in the Lord, the group that you run with may not be the one that encourage you. Even though groups do encourage you, even though the church does encourage you, but there's going to be times that it's going to be just you and God. There ain't going to be nobody else there. It's going to be you and the Lord, and you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. But why did David encourage himself in the Lord? I wonder that. I want to say to you, discouragement is common to all. Not nobody gets past discouragement. Everybody has discouragement in their life. Even if you look back in Exodus chapter number 17 and verse number 4, we find Moses. He had done got to a place where he had got discouraged. And the Bible says in Exodus 17, 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." Even Moses knew that discouragement is coming to all. But discouragement is coming to all. Not only is it coming, but it's coming to all. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, I want you to know you've either been discouraged or you're going to get discouraged in the life that we live. You say, "Preacher, are you sure about that?" In Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, are discouraged. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." The only place you and I can find rest is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I see that discouragement is coming. I see discouragement is coming. But I want you to know this afternoon, discouragement can be conquered for everyone. For everyone that's under the sound of my voice, if you're discouraged this afternoon, it can be conquered in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." You say, "Preacher, what do I need to do?" You just need to get to God and tell Him what discouraged you, what's bothering you, what's going on, and give it to Him. He says this, "And the peace of God." I'm talking about a peace. I'm not talking about the peace that this world gives, but I'm talking about a peace of God, a peace that only comes from heaven, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. Nobody understands it, how you can be in turmoil, how you can be distressed, how things can be going on. Life can be coming unglued, and all of a sudden you can get at the feet of Jesus and you can get to praying and you can get asking Him to give you a peace that passes all understanding, and all of a sudden He'll rain down that peace on you. He'll just give you a peace in your soul, a peace in your mind, and a peace in your heart. He said, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." So you say, "Preacher, what is that?" I want to share with you for a few moments why David encouraged himself in the Lord. Friends, tonight you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't walk around doom and gloom. Get on the mountaintop. Amen. Get up on top of the mountain. Get where God is. Let Him lead you, guide you, protect you. Why did David encourage himself? Number one, I say, because he had a battle that was raging. It was a battle raging in his life. If you look with me in verse number 30, you've seen that he had done come here, and they came back in Ziklag on the third day. When they returned, the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and had smitten him and burned it with fire. They had destroyed everything that was there. You see what was gone in his life, preacher? I see that battle was raging. His family was gone. No longer was his family there when he got home. He was all alone. His family had been taken. How would you feel tonight if you went back home and you woke up in the morning and all your family was gone? Your wife, your kids, you had nobody left. Everybody had done been stolen. Everybody done been taken. I'm not talking about dead. I'm talking about they done got all your family. The enemy done come in and robbed your family. How would you feel if you woke up in the morning and you was going to go back to a place that you'd been to all your life and you got news that it had been burned down? I'm not talking about electrical fire. I'm talking about the enemy fire. I'm talking about the enemy's come in and it's burned it down. There's a lot of homes in the United States of America that there's daddies that return to and their family's gone. Everything they've known's gone. Why? Because the enemy has destroyed it. It's burnt down some bridges in their life. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I want you to know you've got an enemy tonight and his name is Satan, and you must battle him every day of your life. You must stand with God every day. His family's gone. He ain't got none there. He goes back. His neighbors are gone. He's got no friends. They've done been taken. They've done been taken out. And everything they had's been burned. You can't even tell where anything is because everything is destroyed. Can I say to you, when he got back, he realized that that battle was raging. His family's gone. His friends are gone. His future's gone. He's got nobody when he gets back. Everything's gone. You're talking about a battle, son. He's in a battle. He is in a battle. And you say, "What did he do?" He ain't done nothing wrong. He's just been doing what God called him to do. And the enemy still attacks. The family's gone. His friends are gone. His future's gone. But faithful men are ready to stone David. They're ready to kill him here. They're ready to stone him. They blame it on David. You say, "What else has he lost?" He's lost his fortress. He's lost his safe place. He's lost the place. And that's what Ziklag is. It is a safe place that David would go to. It was a place that the enemy couldn't get him at. He would go hide there. It was a place of refuge. But I want you to know the enemy had found where he was at and he had been attacked. His place of safety. I want to ask you tonight, what would you do if somebody come into your home and try to destroy your home? What would you do if somebody came into this church and tried to destroy this church? I pray we got people that would fight and say, "It ain't going to happen here."
Hello.
Hey, he had a battle that was raging. I want you to know he had lost it all. And the faithful men that was with him, 400,000 men was wanting to stone him. One old David and 400,000 men, and they was wanting to stone him. You said, preacher, what does that mean? That means the battle's real. Even those that you think that are with you, it don't take but a moment. They'll turn on you. You listen to me tonight. There's going to have to be times that you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to remember what God's done for you and not what man's done for you. If only time you get discouraged is what man does for you, and only time you get encouraged is what the other man did for you, or what your friends do, or your select group does, or this clique does, or that clique does, you listen to me tonight, you won't find encouragement there. You'll find discouragement there. What you will find where God is, you'll find encouragement. I guarantee you. Every time at the feet of Jesus, I find encouragement. If I'm in the wrong or if I'm in the right, he always encourages me when I'm at his feet. I see he had a battle that was raging. I'm talking about he's having to fight his way through. He was having to fight the devil himself. He was trying to move right on. We done seen this morning how he defeated Goliath, but now his family's gone. It's done changed everything. He had a battle that was raging, but he had a burden that was real. Get this tonight. Not only did he have a battle he was having to encourage himself in, but he had a burden that was real. Let me show you this in verse number 6 tonight. Man, he was under a heavy burden and didn't know really what to do. And here's what David said. He had a burden that was real. Look at this tonight. I want to ask you tonight, you got a real burden tonight. I'm talking about a burden that you need God to touch. You need God to move in your life. Look what he says tonight in verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. What? He was discouraged. He was under a load. He was under a load. When I was in rehab, they gave me little 2-pound weights. They gave me little 2-pound weights to lift. They did my legs and they take you over there and they give you 2-pound weights. Little bitty 2-pound weights. And then little old weights, they was pink. And I said, them things don't weigh. I bought a set and I think they're pink. Yeah, they are pink. The only ones I could find. I bought a 5-pound weight. I got them home, and me and Kaylee, I told her, I said, baby, I said, this is what I do at rehab every day when I go. She said, what do you do, Daddy? I gave them to her. She said, them ain't nothing. She'd take them weights, and the first thing you'd have to do, you'd start here, you'd come back, and you'd raise them up. Here, here, back up. That's 1, 2, 3. And it wasn't that big a deal. But you had to do 45. 45 times. 3 sets of 45. Well, I got Kaylee in there. And I told her, I said, baby, you don't do them? She said, yeah, there ain't nothing to that. I got Kyler in there. I set them all down in the living room. We're all on the couch. We're having a come to the weight meeting. You think you're pretty tough. I guarantee you, I got people right now saying 5 pounds ain't nothing. I'll wear that out. He took them 5 pounds. They get working. Kaylee get to about 20. She'd be squiggling, I'm talking about. Kyler get to about 21. He's wiggling all over the place. And then Mama Brandy comes in the room. And they think they're going to show her up. Son, she knocked 45 out like it wasn't nothing. They said, you going to do the other 2 reps of them? She said, no, I ain't going to do them. And Kaylee said something. She said, Daddy, you know it ain't about how much weight you got on you. It's about how long you continue to carry the weight. Man, that spoke to my 21-year-old kid sitting there on the couch. She said, Daddy, it ain't heavy. It's just how long you're making us have to tote it. It's how long you're having to tote that weight. How long you're having to push it. You're having to carry it longer than you need to. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're carrying the weight of this world, and the weight may not be that much, but it's how long you've carried it. You take 2 pounds and you put it on you for 100 miles, that 2 pounds is going to wear you out. It's going to wear you down. We're in a battle, and Satan knows it. And I want you to know he wanting to burden you down. He's wanting to put a load on you. He's wanting to put more on you than you can bear. He's wanting to put more on you than you can handle. And here comes David. He's done defeated Goliath. He's done got... he needs to be in life, but here he comes to Ziklag, and the battle is on, and the burden is raging, and look what's happening here. That burden had got real. He was in greatly distressed, and here's what he said. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself of the Lord, if his God. And here's what David did. He said, what did he do, preacher? He was greatly distressed, and here's what he told his men to do. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, that's going to be your high priest, his son. He said, I pray. Here's what he said. He said, I pray thee. So what did David do when he got in trouble and he had a battle and he had a burden that was raging? Here's what he did. He said, go get me the ephod. He said, I want you to go get me the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to God, to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this truth? You say, what is that ephod tonight? That is a representation of God. He said, I got to go get a hold of God. Tonight, I want you to know, if you're going to be encouraged in the battle that we're in, you've got to get a hold of God. You've got to get a hold of Jesus. You've got to get to that place. He had a battle that was raging. He needed to get a hold of God. He had a burden that was real, and he needed to get a hold of God. You say, what did it represent, preacher? The high priest wore the ephod. He wore that on him, and it was a representation that he had been with God. It represents the presence of God. Hey, tonight, if we got anything in life, we need to stay in the presence of God. It represents the presence of God. It represents the power of God. He said, go get me the ephod. He said, I'm in a place that I've never been before, and I need the presence of God on my life. He said, I need the power of God on my life. Look in verse 7. He said, go bring it to me. And when he got it to David, David knew what to do with it. It represents the power of God. It represents the presence of God. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by my might, but by my, not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What will God do? He told Zerubbabel that he will encourage him, not by his might, not by his power, but by his spirit. I see tonight that that burden was real. And it represents the presence of God. It represents the power of God. But when you go get God and you want Him to help you, you got to go at His permission. You can't do it your way. If you're going to get a hold of God and you're going to ask God to do something in your life and He gives you the answer, you got to do it His way. You can't do it your way. You got to do it His way. And look what He said. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, He didn't go. Everything he had been stolen, and he didn't go get it out of his own might, his own will, his own power. He went to God first. A lot of times, we as men, and I can say this for a man, we'll go before we pray. We'll go in our own might. We'll go in our own power, and then we'll pray. Well, we ought to pray and go in the Spirit of God. Look what he said here. And David says, shall I pursue after this truth? That's the first question he asked God. Then he said, shall I overtake them? And he answered him. God answered David. And here's what he told him. Pursue. He said, go get them. He said, what you've lost, go get. What's gone, go get it. Go get what it is. It represents the permission of God in verse number 8. God gave David permission to go. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You let God encourage you, and you let Him lead you. I want to give you this tonight. He had a battle that was raging. He had a burden that was real, but he had a blessing to receive. He had a blessing to receive. David knew that. He had nothing to lose. When you get to the place where you know you've got nothing to lose in life, what else? You just follow God. You've got nothing to lose. Look what he says here, if you will, in verse number 9. So David went. God told him to go, and what did David do? So David went. He and 600 men that were with him and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook of Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. This is the enemy. He's found the enemy. He's found somebody alliance with the enemy. You and I, we have found somebody alliance with the enemy, we'd have killed him. You'd want revenge. But David said, this ain't what God wants me to do. Look what he said. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. You're talking about a battle. You're talking about a burden, but a blessing to receive. Get this right here. That old boy was with the ones that went in and stole everything David had. That old boy was with them when they went in and got David's wives, got his friends, got his family, got everything he had worked for. And look what he said here. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Here's what he told him. And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite. He said, I'm with them. I'm with that group. But when that group got done with me, you know what that group done with me? They left me to die. Come home, somebody. You know what that group did? You know what the world will do when they're done with you? They'll leave you to die. When they got all they want out of you and they don't want nothing else from you and you can't do nothing else for them, they'll leave you to die. They'll leave you out on the pits. They'll leave you out there hanging high and dry. That's what they did to this boy. He was of no value no more. He couldn't do what they wanted him to do. So you know what they said? You just might as well die. We're going to keep going on. We got what we want. Uh-oh. That's Bible. You know what the world will do to you when they get all they can get out of you, Roy Parker? They'll leave you high and dry. You know what your old friends will do? They'll leave you dead. You say, how do you know, preacher? I know what it is. Have a meth lab blow up on you, all the skin flow off your face. You ain't got a piece of skin left. Can't even look out of your eyes. And they said, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. They take you home and they beat on the side of the door of the trailer so your wife will come and find you there where you're supposed to be at work. And they act like they didn't even know you and they left you dead. I know what that group will do. That group will leave you high and dry. That group will leave you dead. That group will leave you where you can't see for 2 weeks. That group will leave you there. I've never had a brother in Christ leave me there. I've never had a true brother in Christ leave me dead. I've never had a man of God leave me in that place. You said, preacher, that ain't true. That's true in my life. You can ask her. She's sitting right there where all the meat's off your face. And for 2 weeks, you don't even come out of the house because the group you're running with, they left you high and dry. They wanted you to die. They'd be better off dead than acquainted with you. When they get all that they can get out of you, they'll leave you high and dry. But Cody, you know what I'm talking about. That old group will leave you. But let me tell you what. David come up and he said, man, you ain't ate in 3 days. I'm going to feed you. What'd he do? He fed his enemy. He heaped coals on top of his head. What did he do? He fed him. He didn't leave him dead. He fed him. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, I know what God will do. I know when there's a battle in your life, God's going to show up. He's going to show out. I know when you got a burden so heavy, you don't know where to do, where to turn, or what to do. I want you to know tonight, God will take that burden from you. And I know tonight that there's a blessing to receive. Let me show you this in the text. He said, hey, what are you going to do now? They've left me high and dry. Where are we going to go now? Here's what David. And David said, whom do thou belongest? And he, whence thou art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite. In verse 13, and my master left me. Can I say God won't never leave you? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to leave you. The world will leave you, folks. Man, the world will leave you. Man, somebody talk to me tonight. Man. He said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to Amalekite, and the master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. He said, I got sick and I was of no value to him. Here's what he told him. He said, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belonged to Judah. He's talking to David. David knows what he's done. This old boy's telling the truth. He said, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can thou bring me down to this company? Can you take me where I want to go? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of thy master, and I will bring thee down to the company. And when he had brought him down, behold, there were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. That's what the old crowd would do. Eat, drink, dance, have a party at your expense. Because all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight evening to the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men that rode upon camels and fled. And David, here's what I want you to get, the blessing. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David, let me give you this, because he talked to the Lord and didn't go in his own strength or his own might, but he went in the Spirit of God, David recovered all. Tonight, if you're going to truly recover in this life, you've got to go the way God wants you to go. Even though there was a battle and there was a burden, he had a blessing to receive. You said, preacher, what did David do? He had a family to recover. He had friends to recover. He had a future that needed recovery. And David recovered all. No matter the battle or the burden, God has a blessing waiting on the other side. You said, preacher, how do you know that? You said, preacher, what would you do if somebody tore up something you had or just tried to destroy something in your life? What would you do? I pray I'd do what David did, talk to the Lord about it. A lot of times I don't talk to the Lord about it. I just react, to be completely honest with you. There was one time when the old building was here, we were sitting out front. We left and went to Huntsville to the now and then Christmas thing. We left on a Saturday, and on that Friday, me and Brandy went and bought her a brand new car, an SUV. Never owned a brand new car and went and bought one. Went over there, been mowing grass all day, walked in, And that guy said, the used section's over here. I said, huh? Old dirty hat on, dirty clothes on. He said, used section's over here. Used. She's wanting new. Yeah, but you know how high them are? I said, yeah, she's going to be paying for it. Got me to the new section. Bought a brand new car that night. Drove it home, and on Saturday, we come back, parked it in the church parking lot. Left that thing and went on the vans to Huntsville, Alabama. Got in that night, and the whole driver's side from front to back had been vandalized. We ain't made a payment. We ain't put about 45 miles from Tupelo to here. 30, 50. We ain't even, it smells new. You hear me? And it's destroyed all the way down the side of it. Gas tank ripped, lid ripped off of it. They took, I don't know what they just ate all the paint off of it. What'd you do, preacher? I was mad. I mean mad. Fired up mad. I called over there to the dealership. I said, what I need to do? They said, don't let nobody touch it. Bring it to us. We're going to refix it and put in a heat thing and the insurance will pay us. I said, okay. That thing's brand new, son. Took it over there. Got us a used vehicle to drive around. Done had one of them. Tornado come through over there and they called me and said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what happened? They said, your car was in the heat bay, whatever heat bay is, putting paint on it. Said, the power went off and all, it messed up everything. We're going to be 2 more weeks. I said, you're kidding me. Me and Brady got down, we got to praying, and we said, Lord, you got to take this. Take this burden. Take this. You say, over a car? Yeah. Man, it had me fired up. Lord, you got to take this. It's robbing my joy. Got the car back out about 6 months later. That's the truth. Yeah. Got that car out. She drove it for a while. Went to Vernon, Alabama to jail ministry. Got to preaching one night. There's this guy in the back, never seen him before in my life. He raises his hand right in the middle of the sermon. He said, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Brother Daniel Gaddis was with us, and I told Brother Daniel, I said, just keep preaching. I went back there where he's at, took my Bible. Like Brother Tony's got his open that Bible up, and started sharing the good news. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, share the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, when you give it to God, He'll show you things in your life. And that old boy, he got that, and he said, preacher, I've done a lot of wrong. I said, man, no matter what you've done, I don't care what you've done, God will forgive you for anything. It don't matter. And he went in and tell everything done. He said, there's a church over there where everybody swims. I'm thinking, okay. And he said, I went by there one night mad. And I went down one of them vehicles down the side of it, and I destroyed it. I knows whose vehicle it was. I said, okay. He said, God forgive me for that too. I said, yes, sir, He sure can. I said, if you'll call on the name of Jesus right now, He'll forgive you for anything you've ever done, past, present, and future. We serve a God that forgive all sin. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When God looks on you now, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, He sees you as though you've never sinned. When He looks down on you, He don't look down on Riley. He looks down on the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what He looks down through. He looks down on you. You've been covered. You're in a covenant with the blood of Jesus. That young man asked Jesus into his life, and He saved him. I say young man, he's about 30, 40. I come out of that jail that night, and God said, if you'd never laid it down, I'd never showed you that. I got home that night, and Brandy said, I told her the whole story. She said, dude, who was it? I said, I don't even know. His name was not important to me. But God moved. You said, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? Listen to me. You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You just need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've been in the battle a long time. If you've been saved today, you've been in the battle a long time. More or less 20 and 30 years. You've been in the battle a long time. You need to encourage yourself. Burdens get heavy. But if you won't give up and you won't give in and you'll stay the course, there's a blessing to receive. But if you give up today, you'll never see that blessing God had for you out there. I promise you that. You give up for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Then you get back in church. Listen to me. Yeah, there are going to be blessings over there, but there are going to be a lot that you missed in between here. That God tried to show you. God tried to drive you. He tried his best to get you where you needed to be. You know what David did when he seen everything was destroyed, Brother Tony? He said, go get me the ephod. Go get me the ephod. Go get me what I need. When things all tear up in your life and everything's coming apart, what do you go get? What do you go get? Said the preacher visited a home one time. And the mama was going to try to show out in front of the preacher and said, told the little girl, said, go get me the book. She said, what book you want me to go get? I said, you know that book we read all the time. Go get me the book. I said, let me show you how smart she is. Go get me the book. Said, little girl come back with a Sears catalog. She said, mama, I got the book. When David said, go get me the ephod, they knew what to go get. As your pastor tonight, I pray that your life is right there. That battle, you encourage yourself in the Lord. There's a song I heard the other day. I played it on the way this morning to church, and I played it tonight. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on. We do have a good shepherd, and he's definitely leading on tonight. Amen. I've got a handkerchief up here tonight. I want to close out this way. Been asked by a young lady in the church. She's going to a new job, and they're wanting her to do some things that she's not wanting to do. They're wanting her to do some things that's not according to what she feels the Lord has laid on her life. And she said, Brother BJ, I've got to go to work, and I've got to do, but I just wondered if y'all could anoint a handkerchief and pray over it. And let me put that thing in my next to me, close to me. She said, can you do that for me? I said, as a church, we'll do that for you. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 19. I want to read this to you in verse number 12. Verse number 11. Acts 19, 11. You're talking about battle. That young lady's in a battle. She's in a burden. There's a blessing she can receive. Acts 19, verse number 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Nothing to do with Paul, nothing to do with his hands, all about God. God. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. She said, where she'll be leaving, she's going in the next week or two. There's a lot of evil spirits there. And she said that she just didn't feel like that she needed to do what they've asked her to do. And she wanted enough courage to stand for the Lord. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to get right here with this handkerchief and anointing oil, and we're just going to gather around tonight. We're going to pray over this for that young lady. Give it to her. Let her carry that with her. Let her carry that with her. Let the presence of God and His power and His purpose be all over her. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for what God does, ain't you? I'm going to ask if you would tonight to gather around tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dismiss and go on out. I'm going to ask you to come on around.